I hope today is a day that we're all encouraged, dare I say, transformed. What would that look like? Bring to you a scripture today, you'll see up here on the screen here in just a moment, that you would probably not put for an Easter service. I'll just get flat out honest. I prayed and I asked God for another, and he said, nope, that's the one. And I keep going back. I'm like, okay, Lord, what's the deal? But I hope and pray that it encourages you this day. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move. And the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The centurion ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on the other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from the hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happened to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and after prayer placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you that there's more to this time than just us gathering together for a service, that you changed the course of history through your Son rising from the grave. You took death and you captured it and brought life again. And we pray, Lord, in this time, you would truly change us from the inside out, that we would not be afraid, that we would embrace it. We pray this all in your Son's name. Amen. It's been said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. There's more to that, isn't there? Isn't it? We chuckle because how many times have we planned one thing and then it just went a completely different way? Sometimes for the better. Sometimes we just left there dumbfounded. I was just reminded, actually, this week, ran into an old gentleman that was a parent of a youth that I served with many, many years ago. And I was talking to him about Easter and stuff and how was what I was looking to speak on. And he asked me about it. He said, so remember that time? You're talking about plans and stuff like that. I said, yeah. I said, I know you're a planner. I said, yep. He goes, but in the planning, he goes, you know, sometimes we just got to let it go. I said, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. He's like, yeah. So we were on our first mission trip. He's serving on there, right? And he's first mission trip, and he says, we're not out of the church parking lot, okay? He's got a gentleman with him, and he's been on a couple mission trips with me. And he says, here, let me have the itinerary. Like, it's about this thick. All the stuff that I laid out, where we're staying, directions, everything in there, right? I didn't know this at the time because I would have been like, not as happy as I think. It's funny now. He says, oh, can I see that real quick? And he's like, sure. He hands it over to him. He takes it. Before that, church parking lot, he throws it out the window in the church parking lot, and they drive out. And I went, wait, what? And he goes, oh, yeah, you didn't know that? I'm like, yes, I did not know that. And he's like, yes. It was just one of those things. We said, listen, We know God's in charge. We know we have our plans, and we know you have your plans, Dust, but the reality is we got to just go with the flow because there's going to be so many things that are going to go in a way that we never intended. And I thought about that and said, wow, that's so true, because there's so many times in our lives that it's just so difficult to trust God when we don't know where he's taking us. But isn't that really what faith's about? Learning to trust him? Isn't that what we're called to do when we don't see where his hand is leading us, but we trust his heart? We trust that he's good. We trust that he is not done. And so I ask you to consider, if you will, the detours and delays of your life. How many times have you planned X and Y and Z were nowhere near it? Before you knew it, you're in a different place. You might have planned to do this career, and then that door got closed, as we say. The challenge that you and I face is when the door gets closed, are we going to respond and say, Lord, where do you want me to go? How are we trusting in you? Or are we going to not respond well? Are we going to get mad? Are we going to get angry and not go where he wants us to go? You may not like the chapter you're in, but realize that the final chapter has yet to be written. And so how can we be open? How can we be ready? I think it's a moment-by-moment experience. I think it's a process. Sometimes all we're thinking about is the goal, the end, and where we're heading, which is good and important. We've got a plan. But to realize that's just part of it. That's not really what God's going for. It's a moment-by-moment of trusting in him, of saying it's not about me, it's about where you're leading us. Let me share about two of my favorite people I ever met, Joe and Ollie. Joe, older gentleman, by this world's standards, didn't have much. We'll just leave it at that. He had heard about this ministry in his community that was kind of adopting little parts, various streets, and just bringing church groups, youth groups, and people that knew construction to just really reclaim the neighborhood, redo it, paint it, put new roofs on, give them in tangible ways a sign of God's love over and over again, every single house. And he heard about it, and he said, we need this. He was lots of drugs, lots of prostitution in his area, very, very tough neighborhood. Lived next door to a church, had hoped that that would help. Got a big, scary, I'll be flat out, scary watchdog, like the one that you would just, like Cujo, okay? I mean, it just was scary. Anyhow, it was just a one, I don't know who's going there. Still had trouble with people breaking in. And wasn't sure what he was going to do. Wasn't sure where God was leading, but said maybe, or as I've said before from up here, perhaps the Lord will act. He goes and finds this ministry, this director, and says, is there a way you could fit us in this summer? And the director's looking at it, he's like, I don't think we can, but you know, I'll tell you what, I'll come visit, see what your house is like, and we'll see what we can do. Had it all planned out. The whole summer was planned. We already had the properties, if you will. And he comes in and looks at the house, and they invite him in, and they have the... I love it. You know you're in a southern home when they have like a big thing of oil ready to go at any moment to fry something. It's just there. It's at, oh, let's turn it on. It's ready to go. And so it, boom, put on some fried chicken, had ribs for him and everything. And they pulled out all the stops. They're like, listen, he's like, I don't know if I can even do it yet, ma'am. And it's Ollie. She was such a character. She never got up before 11 o'clock. Now, we as a group would go there usually between 7 and 7:30. Never got up before 11 o'clock. And when she did get up before 11 o'clock, it was, Joe, go tell those kids to keep it down. Joe, come on. And we'd like, oh, Ollie's coming. Keep it, you know. And it was just, it was one of those moments, if you will, that you never forget. Well, he says, okay, well, we'll find a place. We'll paint your house. It was just a paint. That's all we were looking to do. Probably a week, maybe a week and a half to kind of pressure wash it, get it all cleaned up, paint it, and be done. Well, we finished that week and a half. I got to sign that house. And so here I am getting the groups. We're doing our thing. We're finished. And then he comes to me and says, you know what? We need to do the roof too. I'm like, really? It looks fine. I've been up there several years. I've known bad roofs. I'm like, there's plenty of bad roofs around. He says, I don't know. I just feel we just need to stay here a little bit longer. Okay, sure, let's do that. So we do a roof. It's about another two, three weeks we're there. We're wrapping that up. And he goes, you know, Sometimes Ollie, I've been told, this is the director, says, so sometimes Ollie has to go to the hospital sometimes, so, you know, let's do a wheelchair ramp for her. And I'm like, what's going on here? I said we've two times we've already almost like been done. I said, I don't get me wrong, I love Joe and Ollie. Joe and Ollie just are wonderful people, but I know there's other homes that need help. And he goes, I don't know why, I just feel we need to help. I said, Ollie's already been in the hospital at least once since I've been here. I said, she comes in and she's kind of tough and angry enough that she's like, I don't need to walk her, and she just kind of goes. Anyhow, and so I'm like, I don't know about that. And so Friday we finish this wheelchair ramp. We finished the last board on the wheelchair ramp. Didn't have a railing, nothing, right? We still got work to do. Monday morning, come walking up with a new group of people. As we're walking up, I see Ollie sitting outside with her best wig, her wonderful church clothes, and it's, again, 7:30 in the morning. And I'm like, uh-oh, what's going on? I told Miss Ollie, I said, Miss Ollie, good morning. What seems to be the problem? She says, well, Joe had to go to the hospital. I said, Joe? He was fine Friday. What do you mean he had to go to the hospital? His diabetes flared up. They have to amputate his leg. I'm just, obviously, breath, wind taken out. I said, Miss Holly, do you need a ride? She goes, yes, I do. We'll get you there. Got her there, met with Joe before the surgery. After the surgery, we're coming and visiting him. The whole staff's coming and just trying to encourage him and support him and pray for him. And as we're there, he had heard one of the staff members was sick, a cold. But that was who Joe was. He says, hey, how is so-and-so? I'm really concerned. I heard they're not feeling well. This man had just lost his leg the day before, but was so focused and concerned for others. His plans were different. Our plans were different. I still fought those plans up to the day that Ollie was on the porch. Sometimes life does not go in the way we hope it to go. Sometimes the directions are so not at all what we want or desire. And yet, can God use it? Perhaps the Lord will act. New chapters in life often begin with an orientation. It helps us understand what's expected of us. We found out when I first came on staff here a couple years ago, believe it or not, this last week, that our new deacons and new elders need to know that they have a thing called a mailbox. Apparently, after about 6 months' time, they're like, I can't find anything. People keep telling me they leave me. And I'm like, have you checked your mailbox? They're like, what mailbox? I went, what? Okay, well, let's go take a tour. But usually, in our relationship with the Lord, God uses disorientation. It's interesting how he does that, but sometimes God needs to disorient us to reorient us. How many of us are right now in a season of disorientation? In a season that we're just, yep, right? He's like, I'm right here, right here, right? I see a hand. That's funny. I haven't said that in a Presbyterian church ever. I see another hand. But the reality is, how many of us really, the plans are not what we had planned. It is not where we are looking to go. And yet the Lord says, this is where I'm taking you. Don't forget, this is the text that I fought against the Lord to even share. I'm like, even last night, I'm like, are you sure you want this one? Because this is the time to change it, Lord. I got to do it tonight if I want to do it. So here's Paul, and he's got his plans, never intended to go to this island of Malta, ever. And he's shipwrecked, broken to pieces. Planks, for those that couldn't swim, just to kind of float into shore. Lands in this island of Malta where the people are unusually kind. Meets, if you will, and then gets bitten by a snake. So he survived the shipwreck, but now they're like, man, now that he's been, the God sent, if you will, a viper to kind of take him out. So this guy must be a horrible person. Does this bring you any encouragement? That sometimes when bad things happen, it's not because you're a bad person. It's because we live in a broken world. Sometimes it's just the brokenness that we live in. And so Paul ends up connecting with Publius, which, you know, that's a wonderful name. You should name all your grandkids that. You should encourage your family. Publius, it's a biblical name. You can go with that. It's probably not ever going to catch, but you can try. They welcome them. Didn't know this God that they knew, this Jesus that Paul had given his life to, that Paul had risen from the grave, if you will, on this side of heaven. But as he did, God used him. He didn't at any point in the text go, God, did you not know that I was on a ship to try to do your work? Why did you let this break down? What are you doing here? What's the deal? No, he's like, okay, why does the Lord have me here? Gets bit by a snake. He's like, okay, look, get that off. Let's keep moving. Interesting. How many of us maybe need to have that spirit, that humbled heart to say, not my plans, but your plans. Not my will, but your will. I know I've heard that somewhere. And yet, as they're getting ready to sail on, they supplied them with everything they needed. That momentary, if you will, detour, God used it to bless a whole island and then set the movement on. I want to read to you a quote that for me is just this gentleman who said it or wrote it, if you will, Oswald Chambers. I dare you to Google him. I dare you to start reading him. Every day is a challenge. If you feel, hey, we're doing good, you read Oswald Chambers, you're humbled really quickly. It's amazing. It's humbling. But listen to what he says about these detours, these, if you will, delays, divine delays. We must never put our dreams of success as God's purposes for us. The question of getting to a particular end is a mere incident. What we call the process, God calls the end. His purpose is that I depend on him and on his power now. It is the process, not the end, which is glorifying to God. The process. God meets us in the mess. In fact, takes upon our mess. Thursday, if you were able to join us, then you know what a little bit more about what this is. Or yesterday at a Good Friday service. I asked everyone that gave them a sheet of paper, said, please take a moment and consider your disappointment, the things that are holding you back, things you got to let go of, the things you just need to turn over to the Lord. And I asked them whether they come up here in the Thursday night service and hammer it to the cross or drop it off here at the communion table. And I said that I'm going to take a moment on Sunday and just give them over to the Lord. I didn't read them. It's between them and God. But just to let them know that the stuff that sometimes we hold on to, when we just turn it over, it disintegrates. It's gone. And so it just goes away. And yet, so many of us hold on to things. The pain and the sorrow and the disappointment, instead of just trusting it with the Lord and knowing that we're going to have freedom by turning it over and trusting it into him. We're a little bit feeling a little more secure that it's ours. And so it just disintegrates, gone. That when we just turn it over, it's as simple as saying, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. How many of us are in a season? It seems more than just disorientation. It's a season of tragedy. It's a season that just right now is owning us. Let me say this. Give God complete control. Just turn it over. It's not about you figuring out a way to get through it. It's not about trying to pretend that everything's going to be fine and that you have it all together. That's not what Jesus came to do for us. He came to restore. He came to renew. There is beauty in the cross, not because the cross is beautiful, but because of what Jesus did in and through it. This cross is our cross that we had decorated. If we could turn those lights down up there, please. Chris or Max. I would say Alex, but he's up here with a special friend up on the front row, but I won't call attention to him in any way. Thank you. Anyhow, this is our cross we had for our sunrise service last year. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And I look at it and I marvel. And yet, that cross is our cross. That death should have been our death. But Jesus said no. That's too important. See, it's about who we are in him. Who we are in him. Who are we becoming? It's about the process. And so I ask you to consider, what does God want you to surrender to him? What do you need to turn over? I'm going to give you a moment here, and we're going to have time of prayer. We're going to celebrate with the Lord's Supper. We're going to proclaim what we believe here in a moment. We're going to take an offering here. But don't miss this moment. I'm going to give a moment of just silence for you to be still and to know the Lord is good, that he is God, that he knows your very name, that he has never been disappointed in you ever. He stands in and outside of time and knows every part of you, and you are his precious child. You are daughters and sons of the King. Let us pray. Lord, we ask in this season that you would help us let go. Help us to let go so that we may be the people you imagine us becoming. Because it's about the process. Who we are in you, who you're making us, who you're helping us become, like your son Jesus. Guide us. Hear our prayers now. Pray this in your son's name. Amen.